From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made back in 2006 at a bridge game. It wasn't just any bridge game. It was a break for a few friends who were going through chemotherapy treatments, bringing some joy into a stressful situation and making everything seem, for the moment at least, almost normal again. This seemingly small gesture had a big impact. It helped lead to the foundation of Cancer Wellness Connections, a local nonprofit that provides activities for cancer patients at all ages during chemotherapy treatments. From manicures and board games to healthy snacks, the organization is serving more than 12,000 people each year. And now, Cancer Wellness Connections is teaming up with students and faculty at the RIT Magic Center to bring a new diversionary activity into the mix. Gaming. Research shows games, especially virtual reality experiences, video games, help relieve some of the pain and anxiety that patients can experience during chemo treatments. RIT is calling it Gaming for Good, and we're going to hear more about this successful partnership this hour. It's the kind of story that is going to impact, well, potentially just about anybody you know who's gone through cancer, and unfortunately, that is just about all of us. Let me welcome my guest for the hour. Betsy Tuhig Barrett is here, the President and Executive Director of Cancer Wellness Connections. Betsy, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. Jennifer Hinton's here, the Assistant Director of the RIT Magic Center. Jennifer, nice to have you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Were you wondering if I was going to introduce you as a sorceress?
I was.
I asked her before the hour. I said, what's your title? I said, sorceress. So
thanks for getting that in there.
I wanted to make sure. And Jordan Summers here, who is a student and an avid gamer. And proud to say avid gamer.
Yes,
so you're going to be talking about gaming for good and all the good that can come with it this hour. Nice to have you as well.
Thank you very much. I'm still waiting on my own title, by the way.
Just avid gamer.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. Well, you got a long way to make sorceress level.
Yeah.
You got to
level
up, man. So Betsy Tuhig Barrett, I want to start with you. Can you take me back 10 years to what happened and how we got to this point a decade later with Cancer Wellness Connections?
Well, our founder, Eileen, went into an infusion room and had brought a card game in to play with some friends and found that most of the patients seemed to perk right up and were interested in doing what she was doing. And so it seemed like there was a need, particularly an outpatient basis where there isn't a lot going on and patients are just sort of sitting around and getting their treatment for longer periods of time. And so she connected with Dr. Cynthia Angel and Dr. Brent DeBester and said, I think there's something here to do. And that's kind of the nugget of how this all started out.
Okay. And, you know, for those of us who have, I don't think anybody listening probably doesn't know somebody who's gone through cancer and various treatments, but I've never been there during chemotherapy, for example. I've never seen it. I mean, I don't know how long a session is. And so can you help explain to someone like me exactly the needs and the challenge of dealing with that at the moment and then sort of day to day, week to week?
Right. An infusion can vary by patient, and so there's no real typical infusion, but you could be in the room for anywhere from 2 to 5 hours, even a little longer, depending. And so you're getting medications. There's almost, for some medications, there's immediate side effects. And I think that when you're sitting in that chair, you're thinking about, what is this going to look like tomorrow and the next day? How am I going to feel? You know, the room is there. Each room has its own kind of flavor. We're at at various different hospitals, so an infusion room can look pretty much the same. You're sitting there with an IV and getting medication dripped and just sort of it's a hopeful time because you're doing something proactive. But you're there for a critical disease and trying to deal with that critical disease. And it's a time where you feel, I think as a patient, you can feel very out of control. Your body has done weird things and there's doctors taking care of you, but what do you do to help yourself? And I think that's sort of where Cancer Wellness has tried to step in and give people things that they can do during treatment, but also that carry over into the rest of their treatment.
How are you doing? Tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, I've been with the organization for 5 years, and then I was brought to it thinking, oh, gee, I don't have any connection with cancer. I don't have a lot of cancer in my family that I know of, and all of a sudden I was diagnosed.
Wait, so you came to the organization before any diagnosis?
Yes. I came...
2011?
yeah, a while ago, okay. About 4 years ago, okay. I came in and I came from sort of left field. I had no real connection to the cancer cause, so to speak. I knew of people, obviously, as you said, it's hard to walk through life without
sure.
knowing people have been impacted. But I really didn't have a strong family history, I thought. And last June, I found out that I'm one of the 4,000 people annually in Monroe County who is diagnosed with cancer. So I would not recommend going this way for work, you know, doing research to this degree, but it's been helpful.
Yeah, I imagine. And so your own treatment's going through so far okay?
Yes. I'm done with chemotherapy and I'm going to go into radiation next week. So it's it gave me an opportunity to see my organization from the inside.
Boy, you know, in many ways, I think your work is a blessing in that connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With Cancer Wellness Connections, because before the hour began, we were talking. I don't even know of any organization quite like this in the country, are there?
No, there aren't. And as far as we know worldwide, this is really to go into the space as you're receiving treatment. And to do something like this is unique.
Okay. How many chemotherapy treatments have you had?
I had 8.
You had 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And last one was last week.
Yep.
What's the, you know, for you, what is the bounce back? That's such a sort of a strange question. But, you know, is it, what's the process tend to be like for you? How much time have you felt impacted that day and then in the days that follow?
Generally, the week after is a little tough.
About a week?
And I start to feel better. You know, the bitter irony is you start to feel better just before your next treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, I feel that 8 weeks, it was 4 months, it was every other week. And I have great support and it's, I wouldn't wish it on anyone else, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I felt that, you know, I was able to put a lot of the principles that we espouse at Cancer Wellness to practical use. And I have a great network, including a lot of medical people, which has been great.
Yeah, I imagine. And here's more of the ignorant questions. How long is the treatment again? How long is an infusion?
The first four, I had two different types of treatment. So the first four were generally a couple of hours. And it's a process. It's between seeing your oncologist and getting getting set to get the medication. And then the first couple of treatments were maybe 3 hours in total. And the last four treatments were probably closer to 4 hours. They'd give me Benadryl. I'd pass out. I don't really know what happened.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that pretty typical?
For certain treatments, yes. Yes. It was one of those sort of slow motion moments where they start giving you the Benadryl and I started drooling and all the rest of that and pass out. So it was fun.
In many ways, I guess, though, that beats some of the alternative. But
oh, yeah.
Not everyone's fortunate enough to have the same reaction.
Yeah.
And part of my understanding is the goal of the partnership that we're about to talk about and the goal of Cancer Wellness Connections, helping people through this is trying to figure out what does someone need to be more comfortable,
right.
to deal with discomfort or pain, to deal with, I guess, day-to-day after that. But in that moment, are there things that we can do for people, you know, to help?
And it depends person to person. A lot of times it's, you know, we find that our volunteers go in and they're talking to the patient. They're talking to their support people as well. And it's a welcome break to have someone else there intending to, you know, talking
yeah.
to them.
Yeah.
I think that when you're diagnosed with cancer, all of a sudden that kind of goes to the top of your personal resume and you become the cancer patient. And I think it's great when, you know, we've got people interacting with people and talking to them about who they are as a person. One of our volunteers talking to an elderly patient who had a real interest in Rochester history. And for him, it was 2 hours of talking to a young person about something he was, you know, really passionate about. So it was a great break for him to feel like a person again. So I think that, you know, the things that we do with Cancer Wellness are just based on how you can be a person going through this experience, that you're not just a cancer patient.
All right, so how'd you get hooked up with RIT Magic Center?
Well, I live with a bunch of gamers, avid gamers, So I know the religion well. And so
is that fair, Jordan?
Yeah. That's a good call for it.
Yeah. So my husband and son had been playing for years and years, and so I had heard about there are some new types of two things. There's new fundraisers, Extra Life, Child's Play, which involve gaming and doing games for a period of time, 24 hours, and getting people to support you. So that was of interest to me. But also I had seen in just the 5 years that I'd been with the organization, whereas people would come in with magazines when I started, you know, the past 3 years, everyone has a device. And they're all hooked up to their device. They're watching, they're playing games, they're watching videos, they're all about that device. So it seemed like a good connection for us to have with RIT because they are such an amazing school and their focus on video gaming is so unique. And all of what they do seem to line up very well with what we were trying to get to.
And so, I know you've got an event coming up here, and that is, let's see here, the 2016 is the 24-hour video game party, L-A-N
party? A LAN party.
LAN
party. L-A-N, no D.
Okay,
LAN. Local Area Network.
Local Area Network Party, raising money for and awareness for the Cancer Wellness Connections. Coming up when?
Correct. Jen? It is next Friday, beginning at 7 p.m. As you said, it's a 24-hour gaming party, so that will conclude at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening on the RIT campus.
And we'll talk more about the event in a second, but why don't you tell me as well about this partnership and how it has come together as well.
Sure. So we met Betsy and Dresden last year, and they had approached us for all of those reasons that Betsy described. Recognizing us as a local resource, and we shared their enthusiasm, their passion. It was a great opportunity for us to lend our talent and our interest for gaming for good, as we've called it. Our students are very passionate about making games. They're very passionate about playing games. So this was their opportunity. This was a way that we could give back and support our local community.
Why don't you take a step back as well and tell people what the definition and the mission of the RIT Magic Center is?
Okay, so the Magic Center, MAGIC stands for Media, Arts, Games, Interaction, and Creativity. We exist in sort of two capacities. First, we're a university-wide research center. We also exist as Magic Spell Studios, and Magic Spell Studios is unique, like Cancer Wellness Connections. We are a for-profit commercial game studio, and there are not many of those on university campuses. So this gives us the opportunity to build upon one of the oldest and one of the largest game design and development programs in the country, nationally ranked by the Princeton Review. We are accepting about 180 students a year into that nationally ranked program, and the goal is to keep them here in Rochester. There's no need for them to go off to the West Coast when we're already doing some really exciting things here.
In game design.
And most folks in Rochester don't know that. We already have a thriving game community here. Local companies include Working Man Interactive, Darkwind Media, which was started by three RIT graduates, and Second Avenue Learning. And there's a lot of space in Rochester for that community to grow. And by keeping that talent here, we hope to do so.
And how about this? A comment from one of our regular listeners, Jake, he writes to us and says, anecdotally, this is from someone that suffers chronic back pain, and I'm a former gamer, and it does help significantly. Mm-hmm. Check out this story as well, maybe even some clinical proof on this. He sends a Daily Mail article from the UK with the headline, Should Doctors Use Sudoku Instead of Morphine? and the value of mental distraction to physically reduce pain. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Betsy, that's part of what we're talking about here, right?
Right. And I brought in an article also about it and says exactly that, too, that it can reduce the sensation of pain and anxiety. Mm-hmm. You can work through a lot of things if you're distracted, and a game can really catch your attention.
It's one of the oldest principles. I remember when I was, 6 or 7 years old, and I was out to dinner with my dad and got a cut, and it was really hurting. And he said, you have to find a way to not think about it. Mm-hmm. You have to find a way to concentrate on something else. And it will hurt less. And I said, no, that's ridiculous. How is it going to hurt less? And he said, think about something else. Mm-hmm. And he was right.
Absolutely.
So here we are with that principle here. But as much as that's psychological, maybe yeah, maybe there's clinical evidence. Maybe there's a lot that we're starting to understand with this, Betsy.
Absolutely. And I think even there's some studies being done at RIT that regard that as well.
Absolutely.
With regard to that as well.
Absolutely.
Dr. Sugarman, I think, mm-hmm. is involved in some research on that. And I think wherever you can go without medication, the idea, you know, you're going through chemotherapy, there's chemo fog. The struggle is real, I'm here to tell you.
hold on, though. For those who haven't gone through chemotherapy, how do you define chemo fog?
There is just it's just a lack of clarity sometimes. And it goes away, I've been told, but I plan on using this excuse for the rest of my life. Just fair warning. But some of the medications will take a little bit of an edge off.
Forgetfulness?
Forgetfulness. One of the most poignant moments for me was just ending up somewhere, driving to an appointment and getting so hopelessly lost and not knowing anywhere. And I've lived here most of my life.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those moments where, oh. Now, truth be told, my sense of direction is pretty bad. So, again, we'll use chemo brain for that at that point. But I think, you know, there are studies that it impacts women more so. And we find the excuse more palatable. I don't know. So.
Well, Jen, what is then the goal with this partnership going forward? What can you do with this?
So what we hope to do with this, we are engaging one of RIT's largest student organizations, the Electronic Gaming Society. They host weekly events and semester events such as these LAN parties. And this was an opportunity for them to, you know, again, as we've already said, to game for good. This is something that they do for enjoyment. They now have a sense of purpose associated with it. And that's something that they're really, really excited about. They've met Betsy. They, too, have family members, friends who have been touched by cancer. And they're eager to, like I said, lend their support. This has also been an opportunity, again, in working with Cancer Wellness Connections. You know, the key word here is wellness. This has been an opportunity for us to infuse some wellness into their student experience. And that's something that they've been very open to, very receptive to, working with partners in student affairs. You know, when you're sitting at, you know, at a console, at your desk, playing games, you know, and in this case, playing games for 24 hours, there's great value to getting up and moving around and perhaps yoga, different stretching techniques. So this is something that while our students are, you know, lending their support in a way that they know how, they're also getting something out of the experience as well.
Okay. Alex writes to us and says, here's an email from a gamer who gets tired of the bad rap we get, so thank you for shining a spotlight on this. But just to be clear, what is the game, and are they playing it during chemo or after?
They're actually going to be having a bunch of games. This isn't just one.
Yeah.
They're hoping to be on Twitch, and they're going to have like a hashtag so you can...
To be on...
Twitch. Oh, Twitch is a streaming service. So while you're playing the game, you can log into Twitch and it will show what you're doing on screen. And you can put like a tag on there so people can follow along, play along with you, join your game, all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be tons of games. And I mean, this is up. They're still adding games, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. Yeah. It's 24 hours. They're not playing the same game for 24 hours.
Sure.
There's a schedule. They'll play for an hour or two. And some of those games even include something like Dance Dance Revolution, mm-hmm. which, again, has a wellness component. You're not sitting down. You're getting up. You're dancing.
I've seen people do it sitting down. It's not pretty.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's fun. People are getting up, moving, competing with one another. Mm-hmm. I think people expect that a LAN party would be sort of this quiet, you know, mm-hmm. solitary experience.
No.
It is not. It's loud. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, the sense of community is really important in games, and this is about people coming together and playing together and not just, you know, again, as we talk about those negative stereotypes, an 18-year-old boy sitting in mom and dad's basement, playing a game by himself.
It really, I mean, especially with technology these days, you can link up with people across the world. Mm-hmm. I've played games with people in England. I've played games with people in Italy. With this, it allows us, like for Fusion Fest, I'm going to be in Brockport doing my own 24-hour thing, mm-hmm. but remotely. But I'm still going to be connected with the guys over there. So it really, when people think that we're shut-ins, we're not. we're actually connected to a bunch of our friends. Mm-hmm. We have a cell phone right here. We can text somebody just like we can add somebody into a game on Xbox or PlayStation. And we can do that with handheld devices like Nintendo DS and things like that. So we're really not shut in. We're actually reaching out, if that makes sense. So it's just like with Fusion Fest, mm-hmm. We're not going to be just kind of shut into one room. And to be honest, we're like you said, we're going to be loud. It's kind mm-hmm. of it's another reason for us to be together. And we're going to be there physically as well as virtually. So it's another way for us to keep in contact. But this way is interactive, you know?
Okay. And to Alex's question then, lots of games for the LAN party, no D. Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody going through chemo into the future, how are you going to start to access what RIT Magic Center is doing, Jen? What's the plan?
So we, Magic Spell Studios, is creating a number of games. One that we are working on right now is called Hack Slash and Backstab, and a wonderful game that will be up on Steam and other platforms.
What's the theme of Hack Slash and Backstab?
It is just as sinister as it sounds. So Hack Slash and Backstab is a 2-4 player game. We call it a couch co-op. And the idea behind the game is that, again, 2-4 players are working together to reach the portal, to reach the end state and win. The trick is only one person can win. You have to backstab your friends that have helped you along because only one person can win.
Teaching good values.
Exactly.
No, mostly,
exactly.
Strategy game.
It is a strategy game.
All right, so that's one example.
Yep, that's one example. But whether it's games that we are making here at Magic or, you know, games that are out there already, whether it's on, you know, platforms or mobile devices, folks can tap into those as a diversionary activity. Even social media. You know, Betsy was talking about, you know, support of family and friends. Social media is a great way to stay connected and stay engaged with family, with friends who want to lend their support but might not be able to be there with you. It's a great tool, great connection, not only for the person who is going through that experience, but for family and friends, like I said, who want to lend their support.
So if the LAN party is a success, Betsy, it means what for the Cancer Wellness Center?
Well, it means more funding for our organization to provide more activities for people in Rochester. We also have Reiki therapists, along with the manicurists. We have personal trainers, people who go in and work with people in the infusion room and give them tips to handle their illness and also life going forward. We've also been able to work with RIT and bring a co-op student, and this is a project that was still sort of an ongoing thing in the virtual world that we want to develop for people who are going through treatment. We had a co-op student who developed basically an arcade room a virtual arcade room where you can walk in and you can select different things, activities to participate in. And it may be going in to see some newsroom, maybe going in to see some tips on meditation. It may be to go in and play games. And when we tested this with we have our pediatric group is called Better Day Buddies, and we provide the same types of services to kids who are receiving outpatient infusions at Golisano Strong Hospital. And we had one of their patients come in and try the kids portion of our arcade room. And he was just delighted because there were so many games that he had forgotten that he used to play. And so it was just all an accessible area to play in when you're strapped in a chair.
You're talking about the Better Day Buddies program that was founded in 2008 mm-hmm. at Golisano Children's Hospital and provides diversions for children ages 2 to 20?
Yes.
Kids, all right, so age 2 all the way up to adulthood who are mm-hmm. undergoing outpatient chemo treatment as well. So how many people are we talking about on an annual basis? And are you trying to grow this?
Yes, we would. We are so far. We're at Highland Hospital. We're at St. Mary's, and we're at RGH Linden Oaks. We're also at Park Ridge, and Better Day Buddies at the Golisano Strong Hospital. And we'd like to be able to bring our services to any infusion room, outpatient infusion room in Rochester. And that's with 4,000 people being diagnosed annually in Monroe County. It's, you know, we can see up to 15,000 people a year And we're, you know, we also are looking at not just the patient, but their support system, their families. We have at Better Day Buddies, we have massage therapists for the parents. So as
what a nice idea.
Yeah, it's wonderful. When your child is being cared for, we have the volunteers there to play with them and to give them a bag full of gifts that you will have a little craft and something to read, and then you can slip out and get a little mini massage. So, you know, mom is very important in that equation. Mom and dad, the family, are very important in making sure that that child is getting the proper treatment. So it's a multi-layered problem when someone in the family is diagnosed.
All right. Emily writes to us and says, was diagnosed with cancer at age 48. Puzzles were what my brain focused on to distract myself, but so great to hear them focusing on a program like this. Bring it to the Finger Lakes, Emily says.
Absolutely, Emily. Love to be there. We need volunteers.
Yeah. Stephen writes to us on Twitter, glad to hear about efforts to comfort cancer patients. As a survivor, I can't express the anxiety I went through at the doctors.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bessie, you're such a good-humored, even-keel person. At least you play that one on the radio.
Yeah,
but Stephen's talking about anxiety, and I suspect even a good-humored, even-keeled person like you can relate to that.
Yes, and that's one of the things that I've had to work on is keeping myself from going too far into the distance of what happens tomorrow. I would advise anyone who's been diagnosed at 11 o'clock at night, don't reach for Google, go for a game, because you will find much more satisfaction in a game than you will on any page that you find on your disease. Mm-hmm. It's all about survivorship, and there's just so many people being diagnosed that there's more and more of us who are diagnosed daily, and it will become a part of our life. And how do you live life normally? And I think that these are all little parts of being normal that's I think is very important to be given. The doctors will focus on your well-being, and you need to focus on your emotional well-being.
We're talking about Cancer Wellness Connections this hour. 10 years old now, and a program that is, I think, fair to say, unlike any other in the country, maybe the world, according to their executive director, who's Betsy Tuig-Barrett, who's with us now, the president and the executive director, Jennifer Hinton, the assistant director of the RIT Magic Center, and Jordan Summer, who is a student and an avid gamer. And we're talking about gaming for good and the partnership that the RIT Magic Center has now with the Cancer Wellness Connections, the way that they're trying to take their gaming for good and help people who are going through, for example, chemotherapy, diversions and distractions that we are starting to see a growing body of research indicates is not only a smart idea, but might actually have a clinical basis for helping people get through this with less pain and less of an adverse reaction. We're going to get a short break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the gaming aspect as well. Jordan and Jen, are you a gamer, by the way, Jen?
I am.
I mean, I want to ask what Jen grew up playing, because maybe I want to see if she can relate a little bit here. So short break. I can't hang with Jordan. I have no idea what he's doing, but we're going to see short break and much more with them next. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, you might have seen the report in the Democrat and Chronicle on charter schools, how they fundraise and how they operate, especially locally. The author of the report, Justin Murphy, joins us to talk about what he found in his investigation into charter schools. Then second hour, it's our monthly science roundtable, all things space, including a new ninth planet in our solar system. Talk with you Monday.
This is WXXI AM Rochester, WRUR FM and HD Rochester, WEOS FM and HD Geneva, and WXXI FM HD2 Rochester.
The pledge drive starts next week. The message will be simple enough. You value the station, it's member supported. Please chip in to help pay for it. But instead of a million variations on that, wouldn't you rather have more time for the actual programming? We would. That's why we're asking you to donate right now. We'll count it toward the goal and stop fundraising when we get there. Hopefully on that first day, February 2nd. Make your investment at WXXI.org. And thanks.
All right, welcome back to Connections. On the subject of gaming, which the RIT Magic Center is using, they're gaming for good to help cancer wellness connections, among other things, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of people we've talked to over at RIT, and they're working on gaming for a lot of different reasons, and it's fun to see it. But Jen, gamer? Yeah, I mean, you said maybe not an avid gamer, but gamer.
I do play games, yes.
First memory playing games growing up?
Atari.
Atari, yeah.
Atari. That was a big deal, getting an Atari. I remember graduating to an NES, playing lots of Duck Hunt with my younger brother, Super Mario Brothers, of course. Absolutely grew up in a household where games were valued, both digital and analog.
Jordan is too young to remember taking a game out, blowing on it, and hoping that would make it work. No, you've done that?
Yeah, up at my
Meemaw's. That's like a rite of passage.
No, that's the way all gamers actually know that. You know, there's a huge resurgence in retro gaming. As far as I know.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. All gamers respect the classics. You know,
sad to hear it as classics, by the way, Jen.
Oh my God. Jordan just called me old.
No.
No, he called us fossils. All right, so you love the fossils. For example, are you talking like Zelda, Mario Brothers?
Oh, of course,
the original stuff like that?
I mean, my first gaming memory, Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Up in my Meemaw's house, she had an NES. Yep. And everybody did it, but you used to hold the Duck Hunt gun straight to the screen. Yep. You know what I mean? Completely cheap. But it's not cheating. I mean,
it works, man.
It works.
You good for your eyes.
Yeah, totally.
The original first-person shooter, if
exactly.
you will.
Yeah.
And if I could, too, you know, sort of give a plug, we're very lucky here in Rochester to have the strong National Museum of Play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about those classics. You know, it's important for our students at RIT who are making games. You know, this is a career that they are hoping for. But even, you know, folks who are just, you know, playing just for pure entertainment, to have the Strong Museum right here and to have access to, you know, those original arcade games, you know, Zelda, Galaga, you know, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, all of those are right there. And we're really lucky to have that right here in Rochester.
Mm-hmm. And so there is interest in the
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And even then, like, they, as far as I know, they're like the only one with the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I tried to get Metroid in there. I sent him emails.
Metroid's not in the Hall of Fame?
Not yet, but they only do so many a year, as far as I know. So, like,
last year was the first year.
Yeah, so
you can keep submitting.
That was a great game. And I'm glad to hear you respecting
it's
it.
It's my absolute favorite.
Is it really?
Ever since I was a
kid. Icarus, Metroid.
Yeah,
those are like.
I still have the Super Metroid. I have the cartridge. I have it hanging up in my house. I'm not even kidding.
Super Metroid was a corporate sellout.
No,
All right, so the classics are still cool with kids. I find that very interesting. But now, do you want to do a career in this? What are you looking for, Jordan?
Me personally, I'm a big music guy.
Are you a music guy?
Yeah, and I would love to record music for video games.
Oh, cool.
That's my thing. I think that's half of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only is the game interactive, but in order to get your mind in the right spot, you have to have the right music. So if you hop in and, you know, like, Lady Gaga's playing in the background of a first-person shooter. It doesn't really fit, you know. But I mean, to each his own. Like, I know my friend Ethan listens to like any music while he's playing a game. It just turns the game volume down. But me personally, I would love to do that. But even besides that, another route, I would love to write for. I already write for a couple of video game websites, mm-hmm. but I would love to do that as like a career, you know. So I'm very much into. Like the purpose of gaming, what it means to people, things like that.
Now, very seriously, I mean, look, I'm sure there are people in your life who think that you're the smartest person in the world, but they're going, are you sure video games? You know, I mean, their gamer culture can get stigmatized.
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably hear it and feel it.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are hearing this going, that's a lot of time to be spending on games, and they have a negative view of games?
Okay, so gaming is so huge now. It's getting to the point where they're gonna overtake movies. And if I'm not mistaken, they already have. Yeah. So let's put it this way: you can read a book and you can get a story. There's nothing wrong with reading. I read a lot. You can watch a movie and get a story. But with gaming, you actually create the story. You make the decisions. You get to do everything that is happening. You know, so instead of sitting down and going to a movie or anything like that where you just watch, you actually interact. You're choosing things. So, like, there's some games where it's like choose your own adventure. There's some games where It's up to you to race this guy and beat him in a race. It's up to you to jump off this building and parachute in the back of the truck. You know, those are things you can't do in real life. So you live vicariously through them. It's cathartic sometimes.
And you don't feel it's turning your mind off.
No, actually.
It's the opposite for
you. It's the opposite for me. When I play games like Grand Theft Auto, has a very negative reaction to a lot of the things that they're doing. But it's satirical. The whole point of the game is to make fun of things.
Oh, man, you're going to open a can of worms. We could do a whole hour on Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you're saying you get good out of Grand Theft Auto?
It's Yeah. All right, you got me to stutter.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
So, everyone else just turned off their mic.
Yeah.
Betsy's going, if you're in my house, yeah, that's right.
So when you look at games, not just Grand Theft Auto, you look at, I think it was Spec Ops: The Line, there's the reason why they're doing it is because they're so passionate. They're going to sit in front of a computer for years at a time to tell their story, to get their point across. And with Grand Theft Auto, with all those games like that, they're doing it because they want to see a change. And it comes from everything with how we consume media, from how we look at capitalism. You know, it's their own take, their own opinion on things. And of course, it's just like many things. You can pull your own opinions from it too. So when I play, let's just say I'm playing Fallout. The whole point of Fallout is to survive like a radioactive blast, you know, and you're living in like a post-apocalyptic wasteland. But it's to show that humans won't stop. We're going to keep going. There's hope. You never stop. You're going to work with other people to create these settlements to make things work as well as they can, you know. And that's what I take from it, is it's an art form. These people are making these games because they want their message heard. Mm-hmm. So Fallout's hope, Grand Theft Auto is satire, to make fun of things. And if you discount that from gaming, you're discounting one of the biggest forms of media today.
Now, I don't want to sidetrack the entire discussion on this. I will say, I hope most of the people playing Grand Theft Auto see it as satire as you do. My concern is that enough people don't, but...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, but you are... I don't think you're spinning. I mean, I take you as very genuine on this. Mm. And I'm about to get to the phones. So I know Ron wants to weigh in on old fossil video games. but before I do, let me just ask Jen. I'm not going to make you, as a assistant director of the RIT Magic Center, take a position on Grand Theft Auto. Don't worry.
But, thank you.
But these opinions are solely my own.
Can you... And the students there learn from at least the success of a game like Grand Theft Auto or whatever it is, a game that gets traction, because it is such a competitive market. You can create gaming for good, but if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, there's nothing good coming out of it. So can you at least learn from the success of those kind of games?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're seeing that our industry is changing. AAA studios, there are not as many of them today as there used to be. We're seeing more and more of these.
What's
small,
a AAA studio?
AAA studio, one? You know, big studio that is putting out, you know, the Call of Duties.
Yeah, Electronic Arts. Are they still around?
Call of Duty, absolutely.
Electronic Arts?
Oh, EA, yeah. Okay.
Yep, they are still around. But they release one title a year. You know, you go, they have their big release, they've invested millions and millions of dollars into that. They have a Thanksgiving, a Christmas release.
So that's not as usual anymore?
It's not. We're seeing smaller studios pop up. 30, 50 people who are releasing multiple titles. That's the work that we are doing in the Magic Center. That's the work that's happening here in Rochester, and hoping to see more of it. That's the new model. You know, Betsy was talking earlier about, you know, all of us have a mobile device and can take that experience with us, whether it's diversionary, because we're talking about chemotherapy, or it's passing time in the doctor's office or the dentist's office. There's a lot of room in this space for growth, and we're hoping to be a big part of that.
All right, let me grab Ron's phone call. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just got a quick comment. You're talking about the fossils earlier, and the fossils were just being laid down, and I was already a fossil. The first game I ever did, and I'm sure I'm dating myself, was Pong. Anybody remember?
Oh, yeah. Pong was my first game, man. Absolutely, yes. Yes, Pong.
Okay, and then from that, I graduated to Asteroids. Mm-hmm. And then I was blown away by the technology that came in with Space Invaders. Oh, my God, what next? Holy smokes. It had just opened up the can of worms for the technological advancement with Space Invaders. anyway, I just wanted to make that comment. I'm not a gamer anymore as such, but my son is, and I still enjoy it. So keep up the good work, guys.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thanks for the phone call. I do, and Pong was the first game. My older brother was a big Ponger, and we had Pong at home, and I loved that. And we're talking about gaming and gaming for good, which is what the RIT Magic Center is trying to do. So Ron's giving a thumbs up there. But let me ask Jen the same question I asked Jordan, which is just, how do you feel about the people who give that negative stigma to gaming in general?
Well, I think, you know, I have a couple statistics that I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, when we talk about, you know, that negative stereotype, it's, you know, the 18-year-old kid, you know, boy who is playing in their parents' basement. They're not social, that they're using it, to be isolated. And that's not it at all. Mm-hmm. More than 150 Americans play video games. The average gamer is 35 years old. You know, those are the folks who grew up playing Pong and Atari and had an NES in their home. Nearly half of gamers, 45%, are female. And women over the age of 18 represent a significantly greater portion of the game population than boys who are 18 years old and younger. And these statistics come from the Entertainment Software Association. They publish this every year. It's their industry facts. But we don't think about those things. We make assumptions all the time about what it means to be a gamer. Every time there's a tragedy in this country, you know, we talk about mass shootings. One of the very first questions that you see on CNN, you know, people are looking through their history. Did they play violent video games?
Yeah.
There are a lot of applications for gaming beyond entertainment. Entertainment is obviously very important. Jordan talked about, you know, people who play games as being passionate. The people who are even more passionate than the players are the folks that make those games.
Mm-hmm.
People who make games are passionate storytellers who want to share their experience. And there's opportunities for that beyond entertainment. We're talking about some of them here today. It also includes, you know, healthcare, medicine, education. And we're starting to see a lot more of that. We're seeing studies that speak to that benefit as well. So games are much more than the stereotype that is unfortunately associated with them. Most passionate students that I've ever worked with at RIT are people that make games, the smartest people. We were talking earlier about Fallout. Fallout is a wonderful narrative. There's a story there. We talk about character development.
Mm-hmm.
Games are more, they're a multidisciplinary field. You need to be more than someone who's just able to write code. You have to be well-read and understand psychology. When you talk about, you know, first-person shooters, you know, having a working knowledge of history, making sure that the weaponry that you're choosing for your game is appropriate for the time period.
That doesn't happen
just by accident.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very, very smart, and making games is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about the connection between Cancer Wellness Connections and RIT's Magic Center and the impact of gaming for good, helping people going through chemotherapy. And I was reading earlier about creating games that maybe help kids understand what remission is and kind of going through this. And the first thing I thought was, if I'm, I don't know, 6 years old, 8 years old, gaming may be an absolute good idea to get my mind off of going through chemo. Is that, Betsy, is that too on the nose, though? I mean, do you want to be thinking about cancer in that setting, or do you want something that's 360 degrees away? That would have been smart. 180
nice
degrees
spin.
in the other direction. Do you want something, that's not cancer related?
I think it depends on the individual.
Right? Yeah.
Because for some people, I think it's cathartic to be able to be fighting your demons almost literally in a game. For some people, being as far away from it in Assassin's Creed somewhere, far, far away, long ago, and still feeling pretty powerful is useful. I one of the things, I have a 17-year-old boy, and every time there's some sort of tragedy that blows up, I'm the parent sitting there going, oh, God, because he loves his video games. But I have to say that for him, my husband used to travel. What we saw as an interesting little thing is that my husband would travel and would be away most weeks, and he was able to communicate with his dad and play games with his dad and forge that connection. And so it's been a very useful thing, and now he plays with his sister. He'll play, you know, obviously with his friends. But it's, it, you know, it, I think it is. It gets such a bad rap, and it is. There are so many great things about video gaming, and as with anything else, done to to the extreme, it's not good. But I think for people in duress, this is a perfect medium to really get your mind off of things.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I lost a friend to gun violence, so I was kind of afraid of violent media. I wouldn't watch movies that were rated more than PG-13. And what helped? Games. I was able to escape that and lose that negative feeling I had whenever I watched a movie. Because I'm not saying it got me used to guns or anything like that, but it really, it allowed me a chance to get away from it. Not only the anxiety and all that, but it allowed me to get away from when you live in rural New York, there's a lot of hunters. So I didn't have that issue of seeing a gun cabinet anymore because I was playing video games. Just it relieved that stress, that tension. And I think video games also allow us to tackle these really heavy topics. I just read an article that Dragon Cancer, it shows the story of a family, and these are topics people don't talk about. So to allow a small studio, it doesn't have to be a huge one, to have a small studio tell such a deep and powerful story and to have it accessible is something that only video games can do.
Sure, and you don't have to be a AAA studio or a big studio anymore. If it's quality, it can get into the marketplace. It's kind of like music. I mean, so many people can create music and put it out there. You can be on iTunes tomorrow using GarageBand. But you got to create something quality that sticks. How old were you when you lost a friend to gun violence?
I was 14.
14.
Yeah. And it took a while, but gaming really helped a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was.
You didn't feel like it desensitized you to...
No, it's hard to explain because it's one of those deals where people are like, oh, well, got you more used to guns. That's not what it was. It allowed me to escape enough for me to get back to normal life. You know what I mean?
So when you were not playing games, you felt
anxious almost, and gaming allowed me to make sense of things. Some of these games had amazing stories that it's these people are dealing with things too. Assassin's Creed 2, they have a character who lost some of his family, and his way of dealing with the stress wasn't joining the assassins or whatever. It was actually getting back out there, finding genuine people, finding friends. It's a tale of him recovering. There's tons of games like that. The characters are so deep because they allow you to play their story.
Making a very interesting case, and a lot of people on Twitter just weighing in about their own experiences, and most of it very positive. Yeah, Eric writes, I started on an Atari VCS. Early 90s marketing had my young brain calling it a Sega, but I enjoyed it. Mim writes, Connections is off the hook today. Love hearing about the Magic Center and how they're helping cancer patients. So a lot of people weighing in, responding, I think, to George's story, to Betsy's story, to what's going on with this partnership. Before we lose the hour, a couple of things here. What else is going on with the Magic Center? Because I know that there's some other news. What's keeping you busy, Jen?
So we have some exciting news to share this week. RIT, along with RPI and NYU, have been selected by Empire State Development as the three New York State digital gaming hubs. So we're very excited about that. It's an opportunity for us, again, to continue to grow the community that's here, to keep the talent that we have at RIT here locally. We support with our graduates through co-op experiences, internship experiences. We support the local studios that are here, Second Avenue Learning, Work in Man, Darkwind, those companies. We are a benefit to them through our students, and hoping to do more of that. We are working with students who are developing their own games and have a desire to start their own studios. And if we can keep them here in Rochester, that's only going to help our economy. And again, to continue making those connections across New York State.
All right. So you think this announcement gives you a better chance to keep them here?
Absolutely.
To maybe grow the program,
absolutely.
Magic Center? Well, congratulations there.
Thank you.
And I know we'll be talking to you and a lot of the students in the future about this Gaming for Good. And Betsy, before we're done here as well, Cancer Wellness Connections is something that people in our community might not even know is there. And until, you know, you walk in and get a cancer diagnosis, you may not be thinking about these things. So how do people find the service and at least understand what it might be able to do for them? Are you online?
We have a website, but we're at, more importantly, we're at the hospitals. We're there when you're getting your treatment.
Okay.
It's free to you. It's free to the hospitals. We have calendars up so you can look and see what sort of things are available that day. But I would encourage people to look online, cancerwellnessconnections.org. We're always looking for volunteers. We're looking for...
A volunteer would do what, by the way?
A volunteer would go into the infusion room, hand out books and games. If you are a Reiki therapist or a yoga practitioner, there are some things that you could work with us on. Yes, we are always looking for volunteers. We bring in food from local restaurants. We've got about 20 different restaurants that donate to us. And so if you're a restaurant and you'd like to be a part of this, we can bring in food for people in the infusion room to enjoy, because no disrespect to the hospitals, but the food is not fab. to get something from Two Vine as a snack when you're getting your infusion might be a little more palatable.
All right. So online, cancerwellnessconnections.org, and at the local hospitals here.
Yep.
And about 30 seconds, Jordan, Jen, what do you want the audience to know about upcoming events, et cetera? Jordan?
If you want to donate or if you want to join in on the gaming, you can find the links to do so on cancerwellnessconnections.org. Definitely log in, hop on a game with us, even if it's for like a few minutes at a time.
When?
It's going to be next weekend on... The Friday, the 5th and 6th, overnight. So anytime you want to log in, by all means.
Next Friday. Starting
right.
5?
7 p.m.
7
oh,
p.m.
7 to 7.
Yep.
7 to 7.
Yep.
So there you go. Have fun with it. I know you will.
Oh, yeah.
And Jordan, I got to say, you know, you're one of the really interesting people in gaming. And everybody I meet in gaming is interesting. Thanks for being
true
here.
Story.
Thanks for telling your story.
Thanks.
Jordan
you.
Summer. Thanks, Jen. Thank you
to
the people at the RIT Magic Center as well for stopping by and telling us about this today. Betsy, good luck to you personally and to all the people you work with and work for at Cancer
Thank
Wellness
you.
Connections.
Thank
you very much. Thanks to John Andrus, the engineer of the broadcast today. Megan Mack is the producer of Connections. Marielle Brinkerhoff and Kate Cowie Haskell are interns. And I'm Evan Dawson. And thank you for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.